first in your righteousness. And we know, Lord, that you'll add everything else we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Remember to pray for Joe back there, too. I forgot to do that. I was going to have you pray for him also. And we'll have another one at the end of the class. Remind me to pray for a certain person at the end of the class.
Okay,
all right. Certain person at the end of the class. All right. Hebrews 10:18 is where we are. We have a fantastic lesson tonight. Matter of fact, all the book of Hebrews is fantastic all the way around anyway. It just seems to, every night as I study the different books, it just seems to jump out and grab me, the different classes as I study them. Of course, I wrote this, and I wrote it the second time. I had written myself a note here so I would remember. In January the 18th, which is my birthday on 1999, I finished this book, writing it again. I finished writing this book again. I had done it before, and it was lost. So I had to redo it again, and it was a real blessing to me just doing the class. January the 18th, 1999 was the last, and that's 10 years ago. 10 years ago. 10 and a half. All right. 10:18. Hupo.
Hupo.
Day.
Day.
Authesis.
Authesis.
Tuton.
Tuton.
Ukete.
Ukete.
Prospora.
Prospora.
Peri.
Okay.
Hamartios.
Hamartios.
This is the argument here that he's made that finishes up right here. The argument is when sins have been removed and declared forgiven and removed and declare that they are no more, there is no more need for any sacrifice for those sins. And this was the final verse in that argument. It cross-references Acts 2.38, Leviticus 5, and Psalm 103 and verse 12, Jeremiah 31 on, and Hebrews 9.13 through 10.18 is where this subject goes. Acts 2.38 has corresponds to this. It talks about Asa Thesa. All right? Acts 2.38. Let's go there just really quick. Where forgiveness of these no longer offering concerning sins. Acts 2.38. I should go look at that. Better put my glasses on or I won't be able to read it. Used to, I could do that. Not any longer.
Here,
bro. Acts 2.38. Well, now I need that at home. The Hebrew. In Hebrew, I have to have that.
I got you.
These bifocals won't read Hebrew. That won't happen. I have to have a magnifying glass.
Maybe you need to go to the Mormon store. And they got big round ones.
Big round ones, huh? Magnifying glass. You're going to need a big magnifier to find any truthful theology in that. Acts 2.38. Are you over there, Randall? Acts 2.38.
Peter said to them, Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
All right. Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful verse. There's a lot of theology in that verse. Now, Peter said to them, all of you repent. Everyone repent. All right? That's plural. And then, each one of you that has repented, each one, allow yourselves to be baptized upon the authority of the name Onomati, of Jesus Christus, because of the forgiveness of sins, asaphasin. There's the term right here. Also back, if you go back to the Leviticus, we'll find out that the scapegoat is called the sending away of sins. The scapegoat himself is the sending away of sins. All right? But where their forgiveness is, no longer is an offering concerning sins. Did you bring your Amplified Bible? You didn't bring that tonight. All right. where there is forgiveness of sins, why in the world would you need another offering? There is no reason to have another offering. What else? The writer of the book of Hebrews tells these Hebrews that since Jesus Christ died for your sins, you want to go back into Judaism. And in Judaism, every year they had feasts and festivals that pointed toward the Messiah, toward the forgiveness of sins, finally. Now, since you have met the Messiah and you have final and forever forgiveness of sins, what kind of sacrifices are you going to offer? For what? Is there any? What would be a reason for any sacrifices? Nothing but religious rigmarole.
Only if you completely devalue the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
That's right. You've got to devalue the value of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I don't get much television, and I turn it on sometimes, and was just watching something as I was cooking yesterday. It was the Catholic channel, and they were having all kinds of excuses why they worshiped Mary. All kinds of excuses why they were worshiping Mary. Oh, we don't really worship Mary. And then they explain why they did. They said, we really don't do it, but this is why. And we don't pray in vain repetition, but here is the rosary. And they said it over here. Well, we're quoting the Bible.
Over and over and over.
All the problem there is that you're putting something in the place of God. You're making yourself further away from God. If we have forgiveness of sins, why in the world do we need a religious rigmarole to receive forgiveness of sins any further?
Because they devalue.
They devalue the person and the work of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The person and the work of Jesus Christ is devaluated. And not only that, God is confused.
Mm-hmm.
10 and verse 19 now. Anybody know what that verse word is there? Marilyn, can you read that? You don't have the book. Where's your book? No, I mean,
I. Oh, I got an interlinear right here.
We have another one up there, Marilyn. Marilyn, we have another book up there. There, yes, there is. Yeah, I know we've got one up there.
Econtes.
Econtes. All right. Now give that back to him. All right. And then go look for your book up there, okay? Okay, it may be in the bottom.
No, it's there.
Econtes.
Econtes.
Un. Adelphoi. Parision. Ace.
Tain.
Aesodon. Ton. Hagion. En. To. Hamati. Esu. All right. What? Hamarti is blood. Hamarti. Haimati, that is. When we get the word haima, it comes from haima and hematos. Or something. What is it? The Latin, or not the Latin, but the medical term, hematos or hematema, or all of those has something to do with blood. Comes right out of Greek.
Yeah.
Most of your medical terms come right out of Greek. They're Greek terms brought into English. I remember my mother went and took a college class at one time. The medical terms. Remember that? You were learning Greek when you did that. All right, having. Present tense, by the way. Just keep on having, therefore, brothers. Parision. Do you remember what parasia means? It comes from parasia. What does parasia mean? But if you want to look it up in the analytical lexicon, it is page 311. Page 311. Page 311. You've got one of those, don't you? Mm-hmm. What's it say over there?
Freedom of speaking. Boldness.
Freedom of speech. Boldness and speech. Freedom of speech. Not be afraid to say something.
Right. tongue-tied or bashful about it at all.
Not bashful about it.
Openness or frankness.
Mm-hmm. Just spit it out.
That's right.
All right. Having, therefore, brothers, freedom of speech. Ace, ace, odon. All right. In reference to, or because of, the that word there, ace, there, you could put that because of. Now, what is the rule, the grammatical rule for ace, this preposition that you find on page 119? What is the grammatical rule? It's not in there.
It depends on which case it's in.
Uh-huh. But the grammatical rule is extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Now, that takes in all the cases. Most of the time, it is in the accusative case. Almost always. In Hebrew, there's an aleph and a tau there, and that is a sign of the direct object, or the mark of the accusative. In Greek, ace is basically the equivalent of the Greek, or the Hebrew, eth. It's the equivalent of that. So here we have...
Hebrew which?
The what?
Which Hebrew word?
Eth.
Eth?
Yeah, eth. Or et, sometimes. Et. Sometimes et. Aleph and tau. Let's see if I got a book. Write this down, see? Write it down in your books. All right? Here is apes. All right? And in Hebrew, this is it. This little word, just like that. All right?
There it is.
Yeah. All right, that's it. The first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet,
that's
by the way.
Like Alpha and Omega.
Uh-huh. Just like Alpha and Omega. It or it. All right. I've seen it pronounced both ways and sometimes according to where it is in the sentence. These are the terms. All right. Ace and et. Extension or limitation or thought of the verbal action in Greek. That's something you need to learn. I don't spout off very many grammatical rules except the ones that are absolutely an absolute necessity, and this is one of them. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It can either go forward, it can go under, over, or behind, according to the syntax, what it's talking about. All right? In Acts 2:38, there, ace should be translated because of. That's backwards, isn't it? You are baptized because you have received the remission of sins. All right? Then it says, having therefore, brothers, freedom of speech because of the entering in of the holies. All right? Of the holies in the blood of Jesus. All right. Now, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, the Naos in the Greek, the Holy of Holies. Over here, we have a picture of that in the Old Testament tabernacle. Right here was the Holy of Holies, okay? Over here, the Holy of Holies. You entered in here, you went to the first veil, and then the second veil. Here is the Kadesh, and here is the Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Right out here it was called Kadesh, this is called Kadesh, this is Kadesh, and this is Kadesh HaKadoshim. Holy. Very holy place.
The blood money that actually got thrown into the
Holy of Holies. Now, when Judas went in there, it says that he threw the blood money. He went into the Holy of Holies and threw it, evidently, in there where the Ark of the Covenant should have been. I think they had a facsimile of the Ark of the Covenant back at that time, but he threw the money in there. Now, when Judas went in there, going into the temple itself was a capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't do that. They would have stoned him to death anyway. So he went out and did what?
Himself.
He went out and hung himself. All right. Everyone that hangs on a tree is what?
Accursed.
All right. Jesus hung on a tree for our sins, and he hung on a tree for his sins.
That's true.
All right. Jesus died for our sins, and Judas died because of his own sins. A lot of difference there. There's a lot of difference there. Having therefore, brothers, freedom of speech, because the entering of the holies. Now, do you see that word tone, hagion, there? We have Kadesh. Kadesh in Hebrew is what? Holy. Kadeshim is what? Holies. All right. So what is this referring to here? They did get this right, didn't they? The holies, the Holy of Holies. That's what it's talking about, the Holy of Holies. In the blood are having been immersed in the blood of Jesus. All right?
I think it's the generative plural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having been immersed in the blood of Jesus, we're doused with His blood. We're doused by His blood. We can go into the Holy of Holies. When you leave this world, you won't walk into the Holy of Holies by your own merits. What keeps you from going into heaven right now? There's a problem. What keeps you from going into heaven right now? Carne. Carne.
Sarks.
All right. Basar. Yeah. What's basar? That's the Hebrew for flesh. Carne. Spanish for flesh. All right. Sarks. Greek for flesh. Our flesh is what keeps us out of heaven today, because we can't go in there in our flesh.
Flesh and blood cannot inherit.
Fair? Yeah, that's right. We can't enter into the kingdom of God, into the Holy of Holies. But once we lay it down, guess what? By the blood of Jesus Christ, we enter into the Holy of Holies. Our body only keeps us out temporarily. You know, one of these days we're going to have a brand new body. And that body's going to get to go there. Did you know that? It's going to get to go there once it's changed. All right, once it's changed. He resumes the five arguments concerning the superior priestly work of Christ from 10:19 through 25. That's what he does now. And we need to have courage. Courage. Courage in the hour of trial. Courage in the hour of trial. Let's think about that. Courage in the hour of trial.
Did you say pride?
Courage in the hour of trial.
Trial.
Mm-hmm. We need to have courage in the hour of trial. That's when you need it, isn't it?
Amen.
You don't need it otherwise.
That's what
I'll tell you what. You don't need a life jacket on as long as the boat's floating. Do you? When you need a life jacket?
When you're
sinking. I remember, how many of you used to go eat Mr. Tibbs ribs? Any of you ever eat Mr. Tibbs ribs? Yeah? Yeah. Here on Friday night, somebody used to go over there, we'd have Friday night, I used to work in the singles ministry. This was a single Sunday school class that I had here originally, the Areopagus class.
So Marilyn converted you?
I tell you what, she went after it like a bulldog. Once a woman grabs a hold of you, boy, I mean, it's over with. You may as well give up.
I didn't have any training.
You didn't need any.
But Mother, if you told you everything you needed to know.
You had all the training you needed. You didn't have any, but she just instinctively did it, just like a fish swimming. You know, she did real good. Went without a husband for a long time, but when she found one, boy, she wasn't going to turn loose of it. No way in this world. All right.
She chased you so hard you finally caught her, huh?
I had given up to the... All right, 10 and verse 20. 10 and 20. Cain.
Cain.
And Nekai Nisan. All right. Himen. Hodon. Prosphaton. Kai. Sozon. Dia. Tu. Ka. Ta. Pet. Tas. Matos. All right, Tuto. Esten. Tais. Sarkos. Altu. Here we go now. Which is how it starts out. Which? He dedicated, or he made new. All right? There's some unusual words in here in the book of Hebrews, I'm telling you. This writer was a classical Greek student. A classical Greek student. Which he dedicated for us. All right? For us. He dedicated third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. And it's ekainō. All right? He made new. All right? A new way. Look at that word, hodon. Hodon. The way, the road. We got a word, Exodus. Remember in the Old Testament, Exodus? What does Exodus mean? The road out, or the way out. Okay? The road or the way out. And then it says prosbiton. That word is only used one time in the New Testament. It is an extremely rare word. You can go and look it up. And I mean to tell you, you're going to have to look deep for that word. That is a hard to find word. Hard to find word. Comes from pros and pethaomai. Pethaomai. Comes from pho. And it means to slay freshly killed is what it means. Freshly killed. That's the way it's used most of the time in Greek literature, freshly killed. But it also means newly made. Newly made. Freshly killed or newly made. He has dedicated anew, made a new way, and a freshly killed or a brand new made and living. How did you get into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? By blood. It took blood to get in there. You didn't go in there without blood, people. Now he's got a brand new way. He says, a new way. A new idea. Like Ford has a better idea, you know. They must have been doing something right, because that's the only American car made car dealer right now that's even floating. All the rest of them are drowning. He dedicated for us the road, a fresh new road, by a brand new sacrifice and living sacrifice through the veil, this veil of the flesh of Him. Now let's think about that for a while. Now, through the flesh of animals in the Old Testament, they killed an animal, they cut its throat, they took the blood, and they went in there into the Holy of Holies with it once a year only. They went into the Holy of Holies. They went in there. Now, what happened to that animal? Brother Randall, what do you think? The goat, the sheep, the cow, whatever they killed. How many times do you think that animal died? Just one time? How many times did Christ die for us?
Once for all.
But now let's look at it. Now, Jesus Christ laid His life down, didn't He? He died on the cross of Calvary. He spilled His blood, the blood of the sacrifice. But what's different about Him than all the other animals? He breathed again. Mm-hmm. He breathed again. He breathed again for Himself. He breathed again. He's up and going. He still is. All those animals, they were eaten, they were buried, or something, or burned up. They didn't have another chance. They didn't get to go to the sacrifices again. Now, because Jesus is a living sacrifice, now He died all right. He died.
Most different too is the other animal sacrifices. They only covered for a year or less.
Well, for the moment.
And the Jesus sacrifice
is eternal.
Away eternally.
It's all sins are gone. Matter of fact. The blood of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. 1 John 2 and 2, read that for me.
First John 2 and 2.
And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world.
When Jesus Christ died, here's the cosmos right here. We're look at this. We're going to call this the cosmos. All right? That's the whole entire word. Whole on cosmos, all right? That's it. Now, Jesus Christ's blood was sufficient to cover everybody that's ever been born into this world. He died for not our sins only, but for the sins of the holos, cosmos, for the sins of all mankind. Now, I'll just think about this for a while, though. When people that are not saved come before the presence of God and answer why they weren't saved, they are guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because He died for them. Now, it's not efficacious to them at all, is it?
No. Because they trampled underfoot.
Yeah, they trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, this whole world that He died for, only some will be saved. It's not, it's efficacious. Something like that. Only
efficiency versus efficiency.
Yeah. It is sufficient for all of mankind, but it was only efficacious to those that would believe. God's not going to make anybody believe that won't. You can go to hell on your own. That's all you have to do is just do it. Go to hell on your own. All right. The living through the veil, kata petasmatos, all right. Now that word veil there, does anybody know what that means? You can look up on Thayer on page 335. Thayer, page 335, you want to write it down for later. But what it means is to spread out. What the idea is, as an eagle spreads out its wings to cover. In the Ark of the Covenant, we look in there and we have two cherubim and spreading their wings out to cover the kafar, the what we call the
propitiation mercy seat.
I can't think of it in English.
Yeah.
It is the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. Helasterion in Greek. Kafar in Hebrew, it's the covering. They cover with their wings. Now, there was a petition that covered from the outside world, and that's that veil. All right? The veil means to spread out. In the Septuagint, it's called kolumi. All right? Right here, it's called the katatetosmatos. Exodus 27, verse 16, where it's used in the Septuagint there. Talumi. It says, to the veil, this is the flesh of Him. Now the entrance to the Holy of Holies is through the flesh of Jesus Christ. Through the flesh of Jesus Christ. Now, the Catholics believe today that when they go and take the bon Dieu in French, the good God, or the wafer, or the Eucharist, whatever you want to say, the good gift, that helps them get into the Holy of Holies. It helps them get into the Holy of Holies in the beatific vision. The Bible says that the flesh of Jesus Christ with His blood and His flesh that He gave for us, that is our entrance into the Holy of Holies. He is our entrance to the Holy of Holies. We don't need anything else. We only need to take it up one time. Once, hapax, one time. 10 and verse 21 now talks about the household of God, the immediate family of God, the family of God. Kai, Hereya, Megon, Epi, Tone, Oikon, Tu, Theu. All right. Now, talks about the family of God here. We have a great priest over the family of God. Thayer says, I wrote this down, because as the veil had to be removed in order to that the high priest might enter the most holy part of the earthly temple, so the body of Christ had to be removed by his death on the cross, that an entrance might be opened into the fellowship of God in heaven. I thought he did a real good job of writing that down.
He wasn't even a Christian. He was carrying.
You have to remember some of those times, who these writers were, what their theology was.
But he was not a, a scholar that, because you know he was right on with in all the passages that had to do with the deity of Christ.
Yeah. How in the world some people could be a theologian and a writer and a lexicographer and not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Greek is definite, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very definite. 10:22 now. I'm looking forward to getting into the 11th chapter. 10:22. Pros erko metha.
Metha.
Alethenes. Cardias.
In.
Pleroforia. Fistules. Rerontismenoi. Tos, cardios, apo, sin edesios, poneros, kai, leilus, menoi, to, soma, hidati, katharo. We got a word hydron out of this word here, by the way. Hydron, out of that word hidate. Hydros. May we approach for ourselves. Look at that word. Proserka metha. Proserka manetha. First person plural, present subjunctive, middle voice. May we approach for ourselves with true heart. All right, with a true heart. Now we have some three exhortations in verses 22 through 25. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another. And there are four items that are added to the first to these four items of exhortation. It says, first of all, the first exhortation is with a true heart, which we are here, with a true heart. In faith and fullness of faith, and have our hearts sprinkled, our true hearts sprinkled to fidelity. Fidelity, trueness. And then we're washed with the living water of our conscience, okay? May we approach for ourselves with a true heart. When we come to God, we come to God with a true heart. Truth in your heart. I mean, you can sit here and lie to people all day long. You know that? But when you come to God, you start lying to God, and He knows whether your heart's true or not, doesn't He?
Amen.
Whether you've got a true heart or not. In full assurance, pleroforia. Look at that word, pleroforia. Pleroforia, full, and then euphoria. Look at that. Full euphoria, fullness of faith. Fullness of faith. Full assurance, complete trust, complete confidence. Having been sprinkled, nomine plural masculine, perfect participle passive, our hearts are having been sprinkled, all right, from a conscience, a persisting notion, sine edesios, a remembrance. It means to get your thoughts together. From a evil conscience. Look at that word poneros there. That's the word for prostitution. That's the word for homosexuality. That's the word for every perversion of affection there is. Every perversion of affection.
And pornography.
Yeah, pornography, all of this. Lewdness. Lewd dancing. That's all in this word right here. And there's another word, aselgia. Aselgia, that is closely tied to this. Aselgia means unbridled lust. And Porneus, you find unbridled lust. Just let it all hang out. Just let her fly to the four winds. And having been loosed or freed from, look at that, having been loosed and freed from, washed. Look at that, we were washed. The nominative plural masculine, perfect participle passive. Luo means to be set free, pollution free. All the pollution is carried away. Out of the body of water and clean, pure, living water. All right? Living water. Every time a sacrifice in the Old Testament was brought forth, for instance, the cleansing of a leper. Usually lepers weren't real rich.
No.
That didn't happen very often. So what was the offering for the lepers? What was a small offering?
Turtle doves.
They took two turtle doves. They're what are called ringneck doves or turtle doves. I've got almost a pure white turtle dove out in my nesting in my tree. I hope they don't shoot him during dove season this year. That is such a beautiful. That dove is so light. He's just like a white dove, except he's got this ring around his neck. The turtle doves, they bring two turtle doves. And they would bring living water. Living water. What's the difference between dead water and living water? Do you remember? Living water had to be flowing water. All right? From a river or a stream or a fountain. Something that's water is flowing. That was not dead water. That's living water. Okay? They would take a basin of living water. They would take one dove. And they would go through the ring of Moral and making the offering. They'd pull its head almost completely off. It had to hang on just a little bit. Mm-hmm. They'd pinch its head almost off, and they'd take all the blood and put it in the basin. So in the basin of living water, you also have blood attached to it, so it is bloody water. All right. Then they would take the other dove, which typifies us, mm-hmm. and they would dip, immerse that dove in that basin of living water with the blood applied, and then what would they do with him? Pull his head off? No. They would release him into the sky. He would be freed. That's us, people. That's us. Yeah. We are freed. All right? We are freed. We are set free, loosed. Now look over here to the next one. 23. 23, 10:23. Katekomen.
Tain.
Homologion.
Homologion.
All right. Tais.
Elpidos.
Makline.
Pistos.
Gar. Ho.
Epangelamenos.
All right. I said that real slow. Why I say these, I can say pangalimos like that. Just sew it together like some Greek would say, but then you wouldn't know how it's pronounced, every little word. I don't slur it together. I try to pronounce every one on all of these. Katekomene. All right, katekomen. May we hold fast. First person plural, present subjunctive active. The subjunctive mode tells you what? In Greek, the subjunctive mode. Now, I said I believe the Bible is inspired of God, and every tense mode and voice is inspired. There's a reason for it. May we hold fast. Were some of the Hebrews not holding fast to the Word of God?
Yes.
They weren't. Some of them were slipping off back into the old mire of Judaism. Okay? May we hold fast the confession, homologion. That word kata ekomen, it comes from kata and echo. It means to hold down, to hold it down. Hold it down. Hold down. Hold fast. So they can't get away. Hold fast to the homologion. It comes from homios and what? Logos. What does that mean?
Say the same thing.
Say the same thing. Thank you, brother. Say the same thing. We're saying the same thing that God already knows. When we confess our sins, say the same thing. I used to be able to speak for an hour without drinking. Can't do that anymore. I run out. I get to squeak. I get to squeak in here. All right, confession of the hope, Elpidos. Elpidos. All right, you can look that one up on page 133 too, by the way, if you want to. That Elpidos. This word Elpidos is more than a hope. It is a guarantee. It's a confidence. Jesus is the author and the source of our hope, isn't he? He's the guarantor, as he said before. And then the word akline. Akline. That's a funny word, akline. A on the front of a word in Greek usually means what?
Not.
All right, what's the word kline mean? Kline. Page 234, if you want to look that word kline up. And page 12 for akline. What does the word kline mean? What do you think about that? This will surprise you, I think. Kline. Our word clinic comes out of that. Clinic. Clinic. Clinic comes right out of kline. Alright? What do you find in a clinic? What did you find over there, Brother Randall? Kline. Huh? Kline? Page 234? I don't remember. That was one I can't remember. Let me see if I can see it. I think it's in the middle, the left hand.
Is that
Kline?
Kline.
Okay.
Kline?
Uh-huh.
To cause, to slope, or bend, to bow down,
uh-huh,
to lay down, to rest.
All right, there's the word. It means bed. Bed. You find in a clinic, you find beds, don't you?
Right.
All right, you find beds. Now let's go look at this word and see what the world's talking about. Don't be bedridden. Don't be lazy. Don't be a sluggard. That's it. Don't be a sluggard.
A little more folding of the hands and sleeping.
Yeah, that's right. Folding of the hands and sleeping and the sluggard. Yeah. Wake up today. Well, it's too cold to do anything today. Well, it's too hot to do anything today. It's too windy today. It's too still today. All right. May we hold tightly to the confession of the hope. Unyieldingly. Unyieldingly. Stay out of the bed. Get up. All right. No bed. Faithful. Faithful. For the one having promised is faithful. For the one having promised is faithful. He's faithful to us. And he's faithful to what? Forgive us of all of our sins. All right?
Then, he who has begun a good work
in you that will finish it. That's right. And we need to do what we're supposed to go out every week and do what? Something eternal. Something that will God, that we'll take with us into the heavenlies. All right? We're going to take these things to heaven with us.
Not wood, hay, or stubble.
No. That's not going to go.
No.
Your Cadillacs, your whatever, your big homes, you're going to take them with you in heaven.
No U-Hauls on a hearse.
No U-Hauls, no hearses. No checks. No bank accounts. No moolah. No gold. No silver. I remember Grams, my great-grandmother. Her family, her father was very wealthy. Sam Paul. And they lived in a mansion in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. And she used to tell me, I could just see her eyes sparkle when she'd tell me this. She says, I got to go there every now and then. And she said, I'd walk into that house, and in that great living room over there, there was great big chests full of gold coins, just full of gold. The chests were just full of gold. And she said over there, where they had so many cattle, she says, they had great big bins of these brass, polished brass knobs that they stuck on the cattle. They were rich. They were wealthy. All right? Wealthy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The God that we have owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the cattle on 1,000 hills. Just think about the streets where we are. Now, when my grandma would go into her father's house, she would see all this gold and these big chests of gold. But she didn't get to take it with her. They hid her out from him. She had to go in there as another family member, not as the daughter, but as another family member. Now just think about our heavenly home. What kind of streets are there in that great big city? The streets are made out of what?
Gold. Paving material.
Just paving material, that's all. And the throne floor of the throne, my wife was talking about our 10th wedding anniversary. She says, are you going to get me a traditional gift for wedding gift, or are you going to get me what's a more contemporary? And she said, the contemporary one is diamonds. I said, well, that's out. Now, what was the original one?
Ten.
I said, I know what I can do. I can go down and buy you a can of sardines or a can of tuna. That's what we'll get.
Or oysters.
I don't want no oysters in the house. I can't stand them, boy. No oysters. That I can't do.
Really?
You really know if you don't like something, when you're averse, you have an aversion to it?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't like it.
Now, she likes oysters.
Do you like them on half shell?
Yeah.
Good deal.
Well,
now, I tell you what, we lived up in Nevada, and one year we ran out of food.
Mm-hmm.
We ran out of food in Nevada, and we didn't have anything to cook, and my mother didn't have anything to cook. But one time there was a doctor came up there, and he left us some dates, which I'm allergic to, a bunch of dates. And he also gave us two or three cases of oyster stew, which I have an extreme dislike for. Well,
before that or because of it?
Always. I don't like cantaloupe either. My mother said when she was pregnant with me that she had to throw out these rotten cantaloupes, and she'd get sick and have morning sickness every time she had to do that. And I'm going to tell you what, it rubbed off on me because I can't stand the smell of it. But anyway, here comes this oyster stew now. We're talking about oyster stew. So it goes out there, and my mother puts this oyster stew on the table. I don't want any. I don't have anything to eat. There is no food. And here's oyster stew, and I don't want any. My stepfather beat the tar out of me and make me eat it. And I'd eat it. I mean, and it wouldn't stay down. And he'd beat the tar out of me, and I'd have to eat some more. He just would not stay there. And I didn't want it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're hungry and starving, and you can't eat something,
that's,
leave it alone.
That's
aversion. That, just leave it be. I couldn't stomach that. So you're not getting any oysters. All right? In a tin can.
Sardines.
And tuna or something like that, we won't get that.
Okay.
All right? But not the oysters business. 10 and verse 24, and we're finishing. Kai? Cognomen?
Cognomen?
Alelus?
Alelus?
Ace? Pros? Zismon? Zismon?
Xusmon?
Agapes?
Agapes?
Kai?
Kai?
Kalon?
Kalon?
Ergon?
Ergon?
All right.
Egyptian than Greek, doesn't it?
Well, we're going to look at that in a minute. May we consider thoroughly. That means the down mind. We got noose in there. Remember, last week we talked about six different words for mind last week in our class. Now, this week, we're going to... Was that Sunday night? It was in the Hebrews class, I think. May we thoroughly understand. First person plural, present subjunctive active. Again, it relates to our volition. Just like the last one, subjunctive mode. May we do it. We may or we may not do it. God's not going to put us in the straitjacket. We'll either do it or we won't. He'll fix our want to sometimes, won't he? All right. May we consider thoroughly one another. Ace. Here we have the word ace again. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Page 119 in the analytical Greek lexicon. Pros are paroxysmon. All right? All right? A paroxysm.
That's a tough one to say in English.
Yeah. It means literally. You can look it up on page 310, by the way, and page 290. All right. It means to stir up, to irritate, to excite, to sharpen, to be swift and nimble. All right? To be swift and nimble. It means also to rub. Have you ever made somebody mad by going and messing up their hair?
Done to me.
Yeah. Is that why you did this to yourself?
That's right.
You're not going to get back.
They
won't do that anymore.
You'll have to look far and wide on that.
To rub. And the word rub there means to make, to irritate. All right? To irritate. To scob your knob. All right? It means to sharpen, to stir up. And it means here, it means we need to stir each other up in love. We need to sharpen each other. The word sharpen there comes from that word too, to sharpen. Steel sharpens steel, doesn't it? You take a steel and you sharpen a steel knife. How many of you got a steel? That's what you whittle a knife on. It's steel and you whittle the knife on it. And steel sharpens steel, all right? That's the way it is. We are to rub one another the right way. Rub one another the right way. We're to sharpen our loves for God. Sharpen our love for God. This is the first day of the seventh month of 2009. Boy, 2009. That don't even sound normal for us old people. Yeah. Remember when they used to have the 2000s? This is 2010. This is 2009. And they were out there flying around in spaceships and all this kind of weird stuff on television a long time ago. Now we're here. Yeah.
21st century.
Yeah.
We're all going to be riding around in those jetpacks.
Yeah. All this kind of stuff. Well, 10:25 is where we're going to start next week, and this is a good one to start on. All right. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as a habit of some is. All right. May we not forsake the assembling of ourselves as a habit of some is. That's where we're going to start next week. Let me turn these machines off.